May God's grace, His peace, His great mercy be yours in Christ Jesus, the one we worship this day. Amen. Our text is the Gospel, John 9, the healing of the blind man. Join me in prayer. Oh, Holy Spirit, you are our counselor. You are our comforter, our guide, our teacher. So, Holy Spirit, teach your church this day of Jesus, of His power, His love, His grace, the new life that we have in Jesus. Grant us ears that will hear and hearts that will believe. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't you just hate it when you have something stuck in your eye and you can't get it out? It causes discomfort, blurred vision. And first of all, you follow what a doctor tells you to do. You blink and blink and blink and blink and get a lot of water in there, but it doesn't wash out. Oh, no. And then you do what I do, which you're not supposed to do this, but then you rub your eye and rub it and rub it and rub it. It just makes it worse, right? Scratching your eye. Finally, you might humble yourself and you might ask someone for help, and they may gently help you to remove that speck. And after the speck's removed and you have your vision back, what do you say? Ah, now I see. Now I can see. Now I see. And this is the blind man in a much greater way in the gospel today. Christ heals him. He's blind from birth. He's never seen anything. And the blind man says, now I see. I was blind, but now I see. Well, what does the blind man see? Maybe he wishes he just went back being blind again. What does he really see when his eyes are open? And what are we to see as Christians? It's a gospel lesson about sight. And seeing is a common metaphor for believing, for faith in the Bible. What does he see? What are we to see? I suggest in the end, in summary, this blind man sees three things. He, first of all, right off the bat, he sees a pool of miraculous water. Secondly, he sees persecution that he never bargained for. Thirdly, and finally, he sees a person, the greatest person he would ever see. And he worships that person named Jesus. And I suggest it's the same way for us as Christians living right now today. First of all, what's the blind man see? His eyes are open and he sees a pool of miraculous water that has given him sight. You know the text. He's born blind. He represents all of us that are born with sin, blind, unbelieving. And the Lord then takes mud. It's kind of interesting. He takes mud and puts mud on the guy's eyes. Why mud? Let's talk about that for a moment here. That's important. By putting mud on his eyes, the Lord wants us to recall creation, that He's the Lord of the new creation. Recall how God made Adam. How did God make Adam? He made Adam from dirt, from mud. God formed the dirt, the mud, and breathed, and Adam became a living being. Mankind was made from dirt and mud. And for that matter, when we die, we go back to being dust, right? We heard Ash Wednesday, you are dust, dirt, to dirt you shall return. And so Jesus puts mud on his eyes and says, I am the same God who made Adam. That's who I am. I'm not just a prophet. I'm not just a miracle worker, just another guy that can do some miracles. But I am the God of creation. The same God who made Adam from dirt now stands in front of you right here, Jesus, and he brings about a new creation. Brings us back to the image of God, which was lost, of course, when we sinned. Puts mud on his eyes. He's the Lord of creation. Then has him do what? Has him go wash in the pool of Siloam. So think about it. The blind man goes. He believes Jesus' word. Something's going to happen here. And he washes his eyes out in the pool. The pool's about a 20 foot by 30. It's a big, large pool. And he washes his eyes and his eyes are open. What's the first thing he sees? Water. He sees this pool of water. Miraculous water that has given him sight and new life. And I'm sure every day he thanks and praises God for that miraculous water. He knows it's not ordinary water, but that water has been blessed by Jesus and his word. That water has life in it, forgiveness in it, power in it. The power of God is in that water. He doesn't know how, but he knows it's powerful water. It's giving him sight, and he thanks God for it every day. First thing he sees, miraculous water that has delivered him. And it's not any different for us Christians. As we gather today and worship, what's the first thing we put our eyes to, our minds to, our thoughts to, our focus, our attention to in Christian worship? Well, how do we begin church? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. When was that first spoken to you? When you were baptized. The words of baptism, we put your focus, your eyes on the font, on baptism. And then we confess our sins, and the pastor is the spokesman of God, absolves you, God forgives you. And again, you hear those words, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, which reminds us of baptism. Our focus, our attention as we begin, our eyes are on the baptismal font. This wonderful pool of saving, miraculous, blessed water, blessed by Jesus, that has new life in it. It washes me clean. All the muds of sin is taken away. I have new understanding, new insight into God. I know the love and grace of God. I'm going to heaven. I'm in the kingdom. That's how we begin too. And Luther said, every day you wake up, you should begin the day making the cross and saying, I'm baptized. That's who I am. We give our attention, our eyes, our mind to our baptism in church. We can do it every day of our lives. I'm washed, I'm cleansed, I'm pure. That's who I am in this crazy world. I'm a baptized child of God. And I rejoice that I can face anything of the day because I belong to my God and He's given me new life. You know, this pool of Siloam is a wonderful illustration of a baptism font. This blind man's baptized. This is his baptism, if you will. The pool of Siloam, as the word Siloam, as it's mentioned in your text, means sent. Now, this water did not originate there in that pool. It was sent from outside. There was a spring of wonderful water in the Kidron Valley that lay there in Jerusalem. A spring of water. And the Jews, of course, wanted to bring that wonderful water into the city. And so they built a big tunnel. It was a great engineering feat of that day back in the Old Testament. It begins. It's about a 600-foot tunnel. And they have that tunnel to connect this spring of water outside and bring it inside. So they can have a pool of Siloam. Great engineering feat. From the outside to the inside. It's a great picture of baptism. This water, we know, is sent from where? It's from heaven. This has been sent from heaven. When we have a baptism here and we renew baptism, the Holy Spirit is sent to the water. God's grace is sent to the water. His peace is sent to the water. All the power of heaven is sent into that water to give new life and salvation to us. We don't see it. That's why half the time you're bored during the baptism, because you lack faith, though you have little faith. But it happens. It's sent from the outside up there, down here, for us to enjoy and have new life. This now, I note, is the third straight Sunday about water in our gospel lesson. And I have a little quiz today. Today is the baptism of the blind man. He washes sight. The mud's washed away. He's pure. What was last Sunday's gospel lesson? It's about water. I know it's a week ago. We hired a coach in the meantime, I think, right? Anybody know last Sunday's gospel lesson? Pastor would be reminded. Richard, do you know? Richard doesn't know. The Samaritan woman. This really is a pastoral rebuke time for a little bit in Christian love. We should recall the Word of God. Recall the Word of God. Don't just come and flush it down the toilet and say, okay, I'm on God's Word. Recall the Word of God. The Samaritan woman. The Lord gives her living water. You can drink of the water and never thirst again. He's talking about baptism. Be baptized, Samaritan woman, and you have the inner thirst of love and forgiveness quenched forever, because you are a child of God and be forgiven forever, having eternal life. And now, this is the really hard question. Two Sundays ago, and that's 14 days. You know what the gospel was about? Nicodemus. And Jesus says, to enter the kingdom, Nicodemus, you must be born again. And he says, well, how can I do that? I can't go back in my mother's womb a second time. And Jesus says, you must be born of water and the Spirit into the kingdom. You must be baptized, Nicodemus. Be baptized, and you'll enter the kingdom and know all things. So three straight Sundays of water, 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 baptism, 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 the power of baptism. The Lord is teaching His church, don't belittle your baptism. Don't you dare take your baptism for granted. It's not some quaint little rite that happened years ago. It is powerful. It washes away the mud. It gives new sight. It makes you pure and clean. It quenches the thirst of the heart. You're born into the kingdom of God. That's the power of your baptism. I am baptized. Say it. I am baptized. Secondly, he opens his eyes and sees persecution. He sees something he doesn't bargain for. He probably figures after his eyes are opened, it's going to be easy. Life is going to be a bed of roses. They're going to have a party for me. They're going to have a celebration. They're going to have a church potluck in my name. Lots of food. The first time he's going to be able to see food. What a blessed guy, huh? They're going to have this great celebration for me. Happy faces, smiling, pats on the back. Not at all what happens. It's the Sabbath, and he faces persecution. As Pastor Ed and we have in our text, the Pharisees are there. This happened on the Sabbath. You don't dare do a miracle on the Sabbath. You're working on the Sabbath. Christ worked on the Sabbath. And they interrogate him. What happened to you? What happened to you? How'd this happen? And then at the end of the interrogation, the questioning, he of course confesses Jesus to be a prophet, that Jesus did the miracle. And they say to him, you were born in utter sin. And would you teach us, the Greek word means more lecture. Would you lecture us, you silly little blind man? And they cast him out, which literally means they excommunicated him from temple worship and synagogue worship. He's excommunicated on the day he gets his sight. No longer can he come around here. Get out of here. You're done. You're a pagan. You're an unbeliever. You're going to hell. Get out of here. The guy probably wishes he was just blind again, begging there at the temple. When you know Jesus and your eyes are open, and you're saved and washed, it's not an easy life. Not at all. There's persecution to face. Whoever would come after me must deny himself. Not delight himself, but must deny himself. Take up his cross and follow me. Jesus said, if they hate me, they're going to hate you. And this blind man knows the hatred of the world, the hatred of the Pharisees right off the bat. Excommunicated, lonely man. That's what we see in the world as we go to work this week. Perhaps persecution. People that are against us, laugh at us because we believe, think we're silly, accuse us of being sinful from birth, and to that we agree, I am a sinner, so are you. Come and receive God's forgiveness. All sorts of mocking and persecution and slander against Christians, we know it too. And in other parts of the world, they know it even worse than we do, don't they? I was listening to sports radio this week, as I do, and I couldn't believe who the people of Knoxville, some were criticizing this week. You know who they're criticizing? They are questioning this person, criticism of this person here in Knoxville. Pat Summitt. Oh. How, 8 national titles? Right? Won the SEC undefeated, and yet people calling in. What's wrong with Pat? Maybe she needs to retire. She's over the hill. What have you done for me lately? No matter how good and wonderful we may think we are, as Christians, not basketball coaches, but as Christians, I'm kind, I'm a loving person, I love my neighbor, people will hate us. People will hate us, criticize us, mock us, laugh at us. Notice the response of the blind man as he's interrogated, cast out, ridiculed. What does he do? He doesn't argue back, he doesn't yell and scream back, he doesn't curse and swear against the Pharisees. He simply testifies to Jesus. All I know is that I was blind and now I see. I washed and now I see. This man, Jesus, did it. That's all I know. And this is the Christian's response to persecution. We don't yell and scream and fight back and argue and all that stuff. We simply testify to what Jesus has done for us. All I know, friend, is that this Jesus died for me. And all I know is that he rose again for me. All I know is that he forgives me my sins. He's going to take me to heaven when I die. He gives me peace and joy every day. That's what I know. What do you know, friend? I know Jesus Christ to be my Savior. What about you? That's the response of the Christian. A personal testimony of what Christ has done for me. And let the seed of God's word work in that person's heart. He sees a pool of water that has saved him. He sees persecution. And then finally, at the end of the text, finally the great climax of the text, finally for the first time, this guy lays eyes on who? Jesus. He sees the greatest person, the God-man, the Lord of heaven and earth, the Creator. He sees Jesus face to face at the end of the text. First time. It's delayed until then. We read, Jesus heard they had cast him out. And having found him, notice Jesus finds him. He doesn't find Jesus. Jesus finds him. Do you believe in the Son of Man? He answered, and who is he, sir, that I may believe? Jesus said to him, you have seen him. It is he who is speaking to you. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. This is a picture, if you will, of the last day for the Christian. Now we look to the water, and for that matter, we look to the bread and wine. God's presence, God's love. We see persecution all around us and suffering. That's what we see. One day, though, friend, the Lord will return. He knows we are in exile. He knows we're often cast out by the world. He knows that He loves us and is with us. He will not leave us. He will not desert us. He will come again and find each and every one of us, wherever we are on this earth. We might be in the tomb, dead 1,000 years. He'll raise us. Each one of us who believe. He will raise our bodies, give us a new, glorious, immortal body, and we will see Him face to face forever, and we'll bow down and worship with angels, archangels, all the coming of heaven that is ours. That's the climax, to see Jesus, the one who has washed me, the one who died for me, to see Him face to face. Friday was April Fool's Day, and I read some of the great hoaxes performed on April Fool's Days. And at the top of the list was what they called the Swiss Spaghetti Tree Hoax. I guess a few years ago, the BBC, is that in England? The BBC had a report, a joke, about how there was a mild winter in Switzerland. And because there was a mild winter, the spaghetti trees were producing a bumper crop of spaghetti. And they even showed peasants, farmers out there picking spaghetti off of trees. And they had hundreds and thousands of callers call in saying, where can I get my spaghetti tree? Where can I get my spaghetti tree? I want spaghetti tree. Where can I get it? Never knew we had such a thing. Where can I get it? And they had to tell them what? Sorry, it's a joke. April Fool's Day. You won't find spaghetti on a tree. But here's what you do find on a tree. You find the Son of God on a tree. Talk about a miracle. And that's Lent, when I survey the wondrous cross. The blind man, later, perhaps he saw the Son of God on a tree, dying for his sins. That's where we put our eyes, on the Son of God hanging from a tree for my sins and your sins and the sins of the world. That's no hoax. Believe it. And this Son of God came out of a tomb on Easter. Easter's coming, and it's no joke. It's no hoax. Believe it. And there is forgiveness of sins and eternal salvation in the name of Jesus. That's no joke. That's no hoax. Believe it. Stake your eternity upon it. And this Jesus will come again and find you and I and show us and show himself to us in all his glory. We will worship him and feast with him forever. That's not a joke. That's not a hoax. No April Fool's Day. That's the truth. Believe it, church. What do we see? We see a pool of water. And every time we see it, we thank and praise God that we are pure. We see persecution in the world, and we know that we must persevere and fight the good fight of faith. And one day we believe that we will see the person of Jesus in glory face to face forever. And that gives us great peace while we're here. May the God who has opened our eyes keep our eyes open that we see. Amen.